Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
On Wednesday evenings, we have been going through a study of the book of 1 Timothy, and it has been a slow study. But it has been planned that way. Because to sit down and to go through a book of the Bible and to do it quickly is to rob you of the blessings that God has for you in the process. And it is not to do His Word justice. And we don't want to do that. I don't want to do that as your pastor. So tonight we're going to continue our look in 1 Timothy, and we're going to visit verse 12 tonight. So let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this evening. You know, the gospel brings us good news, doesn't it? I mean, it is the good news that God has power to transform lives. It is the good news that comes from the gospel that lets us know that because of Jesus, because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we have the opportunity for new life. And not just us, but anyone, when they come upon the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the Lord is calling them to come to Him, they have that opportunity for new life. Well, history bears witness to this fact. Maybe you've heard of the individual named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a hard-drinking, hard-living professional baseball player that was well-known in the early 20th century. While walking down the streets of Chicago, he came across a street preacher. He and those that were walking with him stopped, and they stopped with one intention, and that was to mock the preacher. But while there and while behaving this way, something struck Billy Sunday. Not physically, but something spiritually. The Holy Ghost, God Himself, moved in the heart of Billy Sunday. Jesus paid him a visit. And Billy Sunday couldn't resist the grace of God. Billy Sunday went on from his salvation to become a noted evangelist, leading many people to Jesus Christ. Well, the list is endless. It includes Martin Luther, John Newton, Charles Colson, Lew Wallace, Frank Morrison, C.S. Lewis, and even contemporaries like author Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell was an atheist. He was a journalist. And Josh McDowell started out with one goal. He started out researching Jesus Christ to prove Him a fake. And in the end, Josh McDowell's research led him to realize Jesus Christ was the real deal. He was everything that he claimed to be, everything the Word of God claimed him to be. Josh McDowell got saved, and Josh McDowell is one of the foremost Christian authors in this nation, a speaker, an evangelist, and a supporter and encourager of Jesus Christ. Well, you know, our Bible gives record of the conversions and of the lives of many. You may remember the maniac in Gadara that was saved, Matthew the tax collector, who was one of Jesus' apostles. Blind Bartimaeus and the adulterous Samaritan woman. How about Zacchaeus? Maybe you remember us recently talking about the Roman centurion and the crucifixion this past Sunday. Cornelius, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Philippian jailer, a woman named Lydia. These are just a few that the Word of God is full of, that have given their lives to Jesus and who have went on to do miraculous works that God has worked through to lead others to Jesus. Now, there is one conversion our Bible gives a great deal of detail to. the conversion of a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He was a bitter enemy of the Christians. In his own words, Paul was converted from the vilest of sinners to being a mighty theologian and a preacher of the gospel. The apostle Paul won many people to Christ. He trained many more to be faithful ministers of the gospel. Paul never lost the wonder of the miracle of salvation by grace through faith. How God could and did redeem someone like him. Think about that. Think about the time and the moment in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And do you remember that feeling? And have you lost the wonder and the significance in your life of what salvation actually means? Life can get in the way of a lot of things. We can find ourselves burdened down with a lot of trouble, with a lot of grief, with a lot of sorrow in life. And often it winds up getting in the way and robbing us of our joy. Paul suffered a lot in his ministry. Paul was abandoned by a lot of people. Paul was left alone in a lot of situations and in a lot of circumstances. But Paul never let any of that rob him of his joy as a Christian. He saw himself as a supreme example of God's saving grace. And you know what? There's nothing stopping you and I tonight from seeing ourselves as an example of God's saving grace. An example that we can take out and we can live before others and show others what they're missing by not following Jesus tonight. By not being saved, by not coming to Him in repentance. Well, when we look at verses 12 through 17 of chapter 1, what we see is Paul's testimony. And from this testimony tonight, we're going to focus on one verse. And that one verse is something that contains a lot of information. As a matter of fact, I want to share tonight four gratitudes that come from God's grace. That will help you grow in your faith tonight. It will also help you grow in your service, and it will help you grow in your dedication to God. It will help you grow in His dedication to His wonderful Word, and it will help you grow in His dedication to His will for your life. So tonight, notice with me first, God's people have a gratitude for saving grace. Christians ought to be conscious of their salvation tonight. We ought to be interested in giving testimony of it often, with the Lord receiving all of the praise, honor, and glory tonight. We often hear folks talk about their salvation, but when we hear them talk about it and when we hear them give their testimony oftentimes seems to be more of a reflection of who they used to be before they were saved instead of who they are after they've been saved. Now, granted, let's not mince any words tonight. We're all sinners saved by grace through faith. Some of us lived a vile, wicked life before salvation. Some of us not so much. That doesn't matter. There are no different levels of being unsaved. There's no different levels of being lost tonight. We're either lost or we're not. But what Christians ought to do tonight is Christians ought to be down on their knees thanking God for what He has done in their life. And instead of giving a testimony of how the devil used to run their life, our testimony ought to be focused on how God is running our lives tonight and the blessings that He is bestowing on us through that relationship we have with Him through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We often lose track of the reality in our life that we can't contribute anything to our salvation. It doesn't matter how moral we are. It doesn't matter how deeply we follow the law that is written in God's Word. It doesn't matter how straight we try to walk, we cannot contribute anything to our salvation. Our salvation is based exclusively on the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Were it not for Him, we would not have an opportunity. We would not have a chance at salvation tonight. Well, next we see out of this verse that God's people have a gratitude for enabling grace. God not only saved us by grace, through grace He gives us strength we previously didn't have in order to live out salvation. Have you ever thought about God's grace giving you strength? It does. God's grace gives us the strength that we need to accomplish the things that we have to in life. In our verse of Scripture, Paul says, "Who hath enabled me?" It is the Lord who had enabled Paul to do everything that he had done. Paul did not have the ability in and of himself to make a change in his life on the Damascus Road. Neither did Paul have the ability to find his way to someone that could help him restore his eyesight. Neither did Paul have a way to actually restore that eyesight. Neither did Paul have a way to make himself credible in the eyes of the church. Paul was someone who was an enemy of the church. And when Paul started preaching the gospel and he was introduced to the church, they wanted to push back. They wanted to say, "Whoa now, wait a minute, we know about him, you're not bringing him in here." But the grace of God enabled man to open their hearts to Paul and see him for the redeemed person that he was. It is God's grace that allows people to see us for the redeemed person that we are. That is, if we'll put it to work, if we'll let God use it in our lives. How often does God want to do something in our lives and we are our own stumbling block? We are the ones that says, "Whoa, now wait a minute, God, I'd just rather not do that right now. Wait a minute, God, I'd rather you not pick me for that. Wait a minute, God," and then you fill in the blank. He enables us. He enables us and gives us strength that we previously did not have. Don't ask me how He does it. Don't ask me why He does it. I just know according to God's Word, He does it. How do I know that? Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, if Paul could do all things through Christ who strengtheneth him, and Paul can live the life that he lived under the circumstances he lived under, how much more could we do and could we allow God to do through us tonight? I don't know about you, but I haven't heard of anybody being thrown into an underground prison cell and chained to the floor because they believed in Jesus. Not in this county. I don't know about you, but I haven't heard of anybody being under house arrest with two sheriff's deputies handcuffed to them, refusing to let them go do anything or refusing to let them be a part of anything. I don't know about you, but I haven't heard of any preachers being dragged before a council or a judge or anyone else to give an account of why they preached the gospel. But yet Paul experienced the equivalent of each one of those things in his life, and Paul had the strength to overcome them. Paul had the strength by the grace of God to continue in his preaching and in his ministry in order to give God the glory for it. And we have that same privilege available to us tonight. Well, we also see that God's people have a gratitude for faithfulness through grace. Through grace, God should be able to consider us faithful and trustworthy. He should be able to consider us a good steward of His Word, His will, and His work. Now, when we think of good stewardship, we often want to just think of money and stop there. We want to think about how much is in the bank account. We want to think about how much is available for this program, how much is available for that missions, how much is available for this ministry. And good stewardship is spending what we have to spend and saving the rest and investing it and making it grow and doing all of that stuff. That's not stewardship. Not in God's Word. It may have its little slice of that pie. But when we talk about stewardship and we really get down to the nuts and bolts of it in God's Word tonight, we see that stewardship deals with how we handle His Word. How do we handle His Word in our life? When we read it, when we digest it, when we go to our devotions and we go to our meditations and we bring His Word into our heart and into our lives, how do we handle it from there? Do we let God's grace have His way? Do we let God's grace develop a work in our life? And how about His will? What's God calling us to do? What has He gifted us to do? Now, sometimes when we talk about God's calling, we want to get all mystical about this, about God's calling, about, well, you know, I want a Damascus Road experience where the blinding light of Jesus is there, and I want to have all of this so I can deal with it. I know that it's God's calling. Listen, if God's given us a gift, a real, sincere, honest-to-goodness gift tonight, and we know God's given it to us, we ought to be using it for His glory. We ought to be using it to proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world tonight. We ought to be using it to further the church tonight. We ought to be using it to grow the church tonight. If we're not using the gift that He gives us, then we are abandoning the call that He has placed on our life. Now, if God hasn't gifted us to do something, we don't have no business getting into it. If God hasn't called us into it and He hasn't shown us that He's going to gift us after He calls us into it, we've got no business putting ourselves in any ministry that God hasn't called us into. It is just as big of a sin for a person to step into something they're not called into than it is for them to avoid something they are called into. But let's be real. According to God's Word, we've all been gifted for something, at least one thing. Some of us multiple things. So what are we going to do with the gift that God has given us? Are we going to put it to work? Well, 1 Corinthians verse chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 gives us a little bit of insight. It tells us, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we come back to our verse 12 that we're looking at. Hey, Paul says, for that he counted me faithful. Paul said, he called me, he gifted me, he gave me the drive, he gave me the strength, and I started taking the steps. I started making the motion. I started going through it because I believed in Jesus. I followed faithfully Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling, and that's what he's encouraging us to do in this verse, is for us to be faithful to our calling through Jesus Christ, and for us to let grace have its work in our life, so that we can be faithful with everything that we're supposed to do tonight. With everything, regardless of what it is. Well, number 4 tonight, and my last point to share with you, is God's people have a gratitude for service originating from grace. Sounds like the same thing, but it's a little different. Takes us down a little different path. God produces within us a humility that doesn't boast of ourselves. It boasts of the Lord's trustworthiness to work His gift through our incomplete lives. Notice the end of verse 12, Paul says, putting me into the ministry. Why me, Paul goes on. We'll find out as we get further into it. Why me? Paul says, of all things, of all of the people that should not have been called to do this work. Even Jesus came and paid me a visit on the Damascus Road, and He saved me, and He restored me. He gave my vision back. He gave me a burden, a calling, a gifting. Why me? And you know, that's a question that we could all ask tonight. Not just the vilest of sinners, but all of us could ask that same question. Why me? Why did Jesus call me? Why did he want to touch my heart? Why did He need me? Because He loves us. Because He loves us. Not because of anything we've done to deserve it, not because of anything that we've earned it. That's why Paul talks about a humility. And when you sit down and you break this last part of the verse down, putting me into the ministry, and you go through and you do a little bit of case study there, you see that Paul speaks of his humility in the fact that it isn't me. It is the Lord. And I can relate to a level of that because I know there was a time in my life where there's no way that I would stand in front of people and speak. There was a time in my life where I had just rather I stay away and I'd stay hid. I was a shy person. And by all accounts tonight, me, I still am. But God called me to do something, to preach His Word. And why He did me, I don't know. Why He wanted me to do this, I have no idea. But He did. He called me. I tried to get out of it. I tried to run away from it. I tried to avoid Him. I tried to do anything and everything to get out of this. That's why I can tell you, God doesn't negotiate. And you can't hide from Him. You can't run from Him. If He wants you, He wants you, and He's got you. But understand, I can relate to what Paul is saying. It isn't me. It's God. And we all ought to have a piece of that humble pie. As we all do our work, and as we all manage our guilts, and as we all do the things that He has placed in our lives, we set ourselves aside. It's not me. It's God. But we learn a little more from Colossians 1, verses 23 through 25. He says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word. Paul says, everything that I go through, everything I've done, it isn't about me. It isn't because of me. It is because I love the Lord, and I love the Lord because the Lord loved me. To give you an illustration of that. Some of you may remember the Greek philosopher Plutarch. Well, Plutarch tells us that when a Spartan won a victory in the Olympic Games, his reward was simply the opportunity to stand beside his king. Now, a story goes on from Plutarch where he says a Spartan wrestler was offered a very considerable bribe to throw his match. Now, the Spartan refused. After a terrific match the Spartan had won, Someone asked him, "Well, Spartan, what have you got out of this costly victory you have won?" The Spartan answered, "I have won the privilege of standing in front of my king in battle." Church, our gift, our calling, our opportunity to have God's grace and to have a gratitude of that grace in our heart and in our life, to do His work and His will, is a privilege to stand before our King. It is a privilege to do battle for our King tonight. It is a privilege to stand in front of Him and to say, "Lord, this is for You. Not for me, this is for You, because of what You accomplished for me." We have that privilege tonight. See, we can't win that opportunity like the Spartan did. It's freely given every time the Lord calls on someone to follow. When He called you to follow Him and you accepted in salvation, it's through grace, by faith. You had the opportunity, you gained the opportunity to stand before Him as you do battle, spiritual battle. Well, have you noticed tonight that God's Word was very personal? As a matter of fact, the second word in the piece of Scripture tonight was "I." Paul says, "I." This verse, as I said earlier, begins Paul's testimony, a testimony that I hope will either establish, encourage, or empower us to develop our own, with the desire of humbly serving God as a means of reaching others with the gospel. When we grasp the gratitude that Paul had concerning the grace of God, we can understand and feel the establishment, the encouragement, and the empowerment of Jesus Christ in his life. And you know what? It doesn't have to stop with Paul. It's available for you and I tonight. All we have to do is be faithful enough in our work and in our service to reach up to Him, to reach out to Him. As we close tonight, it's a very necessary question that we must ask. And it's time to be honest when we ask, "Am I completely submissive to God's will in my life?" It's a serious point. It's not something that's just tongue in cheek about looking good in front of others. It's about fulfilling a gratitude that we have for the grace of God as it's worked out in our life.